Let's take our Bibles and open up to Micah, one of the 12 minor prophets. If you have a Rock of Ages study Bibles, we'll be on page 1254. We'll be just looking at one verse, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Follow with me as I do so. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Father, we thank you for the message and song thus far, uplifting Jesus Christ, born of a virgin so many years ago. And now as we look into your word for just a few moments, we ask your blessing upon us. May your Holy Spirit fill each one of us and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if your house was like mine on the days leading up to Christmas. My parents always wrapped the gifts early and put them under the tree. And my brothers and I were, my sisters were so much older, I don't remember a whole lot about them, but I know my brothers and I was almost a competition to see who would have the biggest present every year. Anyone else have that in their houses? Because it seemed like the biggest present just absolutely meant it was going to be the best, didn't it? Well, it didn't always turn out that way, did it? And so, as we look at this verse, and God is pointing to Bethlehem, telling the world that the Messiah would be born there one day. There's at least three things he wants us to know from this chapter, but the first one is just simply Bethlehem's mediocrity. He tells us that Bethlehem is little among the thousands of Judah. Little among the thousands. Bethlehem wasn't the biggest city. In fact, it was a small city. And there were many cities that were more glitzy and had more cities. The walls would be higher, better fortified. Maybe even a more pleasant setting than Bethlehem. And if Bethlehem were an individual, it would probably think that, well, I'm really nothing. I don't amount to a whole lot. I'm just small. I'm just insignificant. I'm just mediocre. That's what God is telling us about this city that He one day would use in a very powerful way by sending His Son to be born in that very city. And so the first thing we see is Bethlehem's mediocrity. It wasn't large. If it was a Christmas present under the tree, it'd be one of the smaller ones, not perhaps the smallest, but just a very small one. That would be passed over and saved to last because everyone wants the big present. The second thing we see in this passage of Scripture is Bethlehem's Messiah. Bethlehem's Messiah. The ruler of Israel, it says. And the Jews would understand as and we don't have time this morning, as they would trace the messianic prophecies throughout the Old Testament scriptures, beginning with the verse we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, the first messianic prophecy. And as they would trace that through, they would find that there would be the Messiah, the ruler of Israel, to be born. And this verse in the book of Micah tells us where that Messiah would be born. In fact, when the wise men came and they inquired in the capital city of Israel, in Jerusalem, and they asked where he would be born, they were able to go to the scripture and say he'll be born in Bethlehem. They understood this. And so when they read that he would be the ruler of Israel, they understood that this is a reference to the Messiah. But let's look a little bit closer at this statement again in the middle of verse number 2 of Micah chapter 5. Yet out of thee, what are those next three words? Out of thee shall he come forth. That's actually four words, I'm sorry. But he shall come forth. What God is telling us is that the Messiah will be a man. And as we saw in Isaiah last week, this verse also is going to speak of his humanity as well as his deity in just a moment. But the fact that this ruler, the Messiah, who would be coming, will come forth as any normal childbirth other than the conception. It wasn't the birth that was anything unusual, but rather it was the conception that was miraculous, that had never been done before that time, nor has been duplicated in the time since. But God wanted Israel and the world to know that when the Messiah came, they weren't to be looking for someone whose face shone and had that hair white as snow. And as we read the different descriptions, they all are the same of the Lord Jesus Christ in His glorified form. They want us to know we're to be looking for an ordinary appearing child. And as the shepherds made their search and finally found what they were looking for, the one the angels had told them of, they found that it was a baby, a human baby, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. But they knew that this was no ordinary baby. This was the Messiah, the one who is destined to be the ruler of Israel, the one who, before He took the crown and the scepter in His hand, the one that would die on the cross for their sin, the one who would provide salvation, not just to the Jew, but to the whole world and all of mankind. This is Bethlehem's Messiah. The third thing we see in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, is Bethlehem's might. Bethlehem's might. It tells us here in the towards the end of verse number 2, His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, just as He came forth, speaks of His humanity, born as any ordinary human being was born, other than the fact of the supernatural conception. Here we see not as He coming forth, but He's going forth. In other words, He had been around a while, and as the old statement says, this wasn't His first rodeo. He had been in the world before this time. We see times when Jesus appeared in human form before He was born in the womb of Mary, or conceived in the womb of Mary and then born there in Bethlehem. And so when we consider Bethlehem's might, we understand that He wasn't to be claimed by Bethlehem. He wasn't unique only to that city, and so Bethlehem could not raise itself up, though it was little among the thousands and was very mediocre as cities go. It, because of the birth of the Messiah, would not be lifted up to exalted place among the cities of the world. Because the Messiah, the one that would be born, had gone forth before this time, would continue to go forth after that time. He was sent to the world, is what God is trying to tell us here. But this speaks of His deity, His eternal nature. The fact that this is the very one who spoke the worlds into existence, and this is the very one before whom all mankind one day will bend the knee and confess with the tongue that He is Lord, that He is Lord and King of kings. But in this one is great might, and in this one is great power. But it's not to be controlled or held in the hand of any single individual. We as Baptists believe in what's called the priesthood of all believers. That means that we all have equal access to God. There aren't any that are exalted above any others and have a special claim on God's might and God's power or on an audience with God. We all have equal access into the throne room of God. We all have equal access into the service of God. And the question then becomes, are we willing to take advantage of this great privilege that God has given to us, that God gave to Bethlehem so many years ago when Jesus was, in fact, according to this prophecy, born in their city, though it be a stable? We all have access to this might of Bethlehem. As we consider how this might apply to us today, we understand that we too are mediocre, aren't we? I don't think anyone in this room is exalted above others in this world. We're just average, little among the thousands. If we would talk of the globe, we'd be little among the billions on planet Earth. And yet God has sent His Messiah to us. The day that we were saved, He came and dwelt within us. And we have access to all the might of Almighty God. The question is, will you let Him use you as He desires? Bethlehem did. And now songs are written of this city and pilgrimages are made to this city. Not because it's anything special, anything great, but simply because it said, God, though I'm small, I'll let you use me. Will you let God use you, though you be little, among the thousands this Christmas season? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great privilege that is ours as born-again believers. Father, we know that we're nothing special, nothing great, nothing mighty. But through the indwelling presence of your blessed Holy Spirit, Father, you can use us should we be willing and yielded. Father, may we decide this morning to both be willing and to be yielded, that you might use us in great and mighty ways. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.